Morning. She's better. Yeah, she decided to rest a little bit though. All right. Kind of a long day planned today. Have our potluck and then we have our business meeting. Pot, oh, yeah, that's true. Well. You did. Okay. Pot blessing.
You didn't see that on the
smorgasbord. 1 Kings 12. We run across in 1 Kings 12, we run across one of these passages where, you know, there's a lot of debate where it comes to how much is free will and how much has God determined beforehand certain things. You know, Judas says, it said Judas did what he did according to predetermined counsel. God hardened what? Pharaoh's heart. He hardened his heart. And so we have another one of these cases where Rehoboam does exactly what God had predicted he would do, in the sense that the kingdoms would be divided, and northern kingdom and southern kingdom. And the fact, well, how much is Rehoboam doing what Rehoboam normally would do, and how much is it that God says, I'm going to choose the very guy that's going to do what I want him to do, and I'm going to push him in that direction? I think it's kind of tough to tell, but one is the other. Rehoboam did not do something against his will. Pharaoh did not do something against his will. Judas did not do something against his will. We have to understand that God didn't force these men to do what they did. But we run across another one of these cases where, you know, Rehoboam does exactly what the Lord had predicted to Solomon, and the kingdom gets divided. So we pick it up here at chapter 12, 1 Kings, and verse 12. And we go down to verse 24, and it says, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back with me the third day. Now the king answered the people roughly, and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges, or literally scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah and the Shilonite to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And when all of Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own household, David. So Israel departed to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. And King Rehoboam sent Adoram, and who was in charge of the revenue. But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this very day. And now it came to pass, when all of Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over Israel, all of Israel. And there was none who followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from the Lord, from me. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Wow. By the way, we do have some very interesting passages dealing with this is from the Lord. Samson's one of them. You know, where God was seeking an occasion against the Philistines, and Samson goes down and he falls in love with a Philistine girl, and all that happened in there. Said, when this was of the Lord, does that mean Solomon was excused for his immorality? No, it doesn't. But the Lord used it, you know, for his purposes. I mean, God can even use the, you know, voice and hand of the wicked to accomplish his will. It doesn't excuse the wickedness, okay? God had predicted that idolatry, rebellion, would bring judgment on Israel. This is an old curse on Israel. Deuteronomy 24 says, if you go after idols, then these things are going to happen, you know? And there's two principles in scriptures that always come true. One is whatever man sows, he's going to reap. And if you do evil, you're going to be judged. I mean, it's just the way it works. It's what the Lord has determined. And so here, you know, God made it very clear that, you know, they'll be cursed if they go after other gods. God would send, and remember there's four levels God says he would send. He would send pestilence, he'd send plagues, he'd send drought and famine, then he would send the invader on rebellious people. Now notice, as you go through the book of Judges, and also as we're going to see throughout the book of 1 Kings, is the fact that God quite often sends warning, right? He sends warning. And he sends a step at a time, the judgment placed upon the people, till finally he has no other choice that he sends invaders to exile the people. Now, what God does here is an intermediate step. We're going to talk about that, because this delays the exile of the people by at least three centuries. Solomon had been warned. Remember, at the very beginning of his reign, and then as his foreign wives were turning his heart away from the Lord towards idols, he said, now listen, if you go down this route, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. And when he went down this route, he says, okay, I'm taking the kingdom from you. I'm not going to do it in your day because of David's sake, but I'm going to give 10 part to your neighbor. And that's when he raised Jeroboam up. Remember, he raised two people up against him, Jeroboam and the Edomite, the Elonite, the Edomite, and he raised him up against him. And so he raised him up, said, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to just leave you one portion. Solomon did not heed the Lord. Matter of fact, two things I find intriguing about Solomon in this case is, one is the fact he doesn't answer the Lord back. You notice there's nothing recorded saying, okay, I repent or whatever. Solomon is told by God, you know, warned by God that this is going to happen, but Solomon doesn't respond. The second thing we see is God raises up these men against him, he doesn't repent either, right? Even though God sends warning and warning and warning and sends opposition, he doesn't repent. He continues down his own way because Solomon was a very prideful person. And even in Ecclesiastes, he spent a lot of time trying to justify his actions, which, of course, aren't justifiable. Now, due to God's covenant and promise to David, he would leave one tribe for David and his descendants. Now, Rehoboam threatened to make life more difficult than his father had made it. You know, this is raising up in arrogance. You think it's tough now under my father? It's going to get worse. You know, the people had asked for some relief. He says, I'm going to give you more burdens. instead of giving you some kind of relief. And so Israel went home in a rage. They said, okay, David, you know, Israel to your house. David, you take care of your own house. You know, we're out of here. And by the way, there was always, ever since Saul, there's always been this division between northern and southern kingdom. It's always been that. It's always been a rivalry. And Judah had the larger part in the south. And under David, remember one of the big debates was, okay, is David king over just Judah or all of Israel? Is he part of us? But it never was totally settled, was it? It never was totally where, you know, they felt comfortable. They felt, the people in the north felt like, okay, there's Judah, then there's us. And we're not quite part of the inner circle. You know, Judah seemed to be the matter of fact, even our word Jew comes from Judah, you know, is where we get the word from. And so Israel goes home to rage. We have no inheritance in our own house, in David's house, so they select Jeroboam to be the first king, which is kind of interesting because Jeroboam is just as bad as Rehoboam. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Why did God raise up Jeroboam? We're not told. And again, Jeroboam has a choice, right? He has a choice to make, and he makes a choice that he ends up making. And matter of fact, ever since the reign of Jeroboam, all the way through, the king says, and they never depart from the sin of Jeroboam. They never depart from the sin of Jeroboam. And we'll talk about Jeroboam and his reign later on. Now, Rehoboam did not seem to know that his northern kingdom has actually left. He didn't. They went away with a huff, and he probably felt, that's pretty good. I guess I showed him who's boss, right? He probably had that sort of feeling of superiority. You know, I showed him, you know, who's on top here, and I'm the top dog, and so on. They didn't know that they actually left until he sent the tax collector up, and the tax collector was, you know, stoned to death. Then Rehoboam said, oh, these guys are really serious. And so he gathers an army together. You know, you had a similar thing happen in our history with the Grants in Vermont. The New Yorkers, the landowners, you know, had claimed that area, and they would send their tax collectors up, and they'd get tarred and feathered and get it sent back. You know, under Ethan Allen, the Green Mountain Boys, and those guys, and to find, matter of fact, even threatened to join Canada, you know, at one point. But again, same type of thing you have here is the fact that they stoned the tax collector, and then Rehoboam says, okay, let's, you know, we can't have this. And he gathered 180,000 troops in the ancient world. That's a huge army. They're going to put down this rebellion from these troops. Now, God sends a prophet, Shemaiah, to Rehoboam, and the people say, listen, you're not going to fight Israel. He says, you know, this is of the Lord. The Lord told your father Solomon, he's going to divide the kingdom, he's going to give 10 parts to the north. Now, I say, you know, the math doesn't add up. 10, you know, Judah, that's 11. Well, Benjamin had been absorbed into the tribe of Judah. That after the episode at the end of Judges where almost all the Benjamites are killed, they basically become a subset of Judah. They have basically the kind of the southeast corner of Judah towards the Dead Sea. That was the area of the Benjamites, and that's basically all the Benjamites you had. And so when they talk about Judah, they're talking about Judah and Benjamin. You know, but they're the
amazing, but Jeroboam goes down into Egypt and left David.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he's going to be drawn back out of Egypt, and all this corruption starts. You know, he brings the idolatry and everything else from the Egyptians back again.
Yeah. Exactly right. And it's one of the things, and we'll talk about this, you know, next week we'll talk about Jeroboam, but they never seemed to learn from the people that they were replacing. Saw what God did to Solomon, then to turn around and do the same thing. My friend, not only do the same thing, he's going to make two golden calves. That was a whole problem in the middle of the wilderness, right? The golden calf thing. And so it's amazing Matter of fact, one of the things that I find intriguing when we talk about the 2 Timothy passage that we did last week, and he talks about who knows if the Lord will grant them repentance if they come to their senses. Those people who rebel against God aren't in the mind that God has given to them. They're not in the right. It doesn't make sense. The rebel against a loving God. It's just like when Adam and Eve fell, they're in paradise. What more did they want? I mean, you're in paradise. what additional things do you need? And so,
I wonder how many times they look back and reflect.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't take it back.
Yeah.
Couldn't go back and redo it.
Yeah.
So here we have, you know, Shemite. Now, the thing that amazes me right here is the fact that the people actually listened to the prophet. I mean, and the Lord had to do that, right? The Lord had to move the people's heart, you know, into, how dare they rebel against us? I said, no, this is of the Lord. The Lord said, this is of me. I'm dividing the kingdom. You know, I told Solomon, that's exactly what I'm going to do. They said, Rehoboam, you go home. You guys, you've taken up arms, you go home. The kingdom's going to be divided. And so the kingdom is divided. Matter of fact, one of the things we have as a prediction in Jeremiah is the fact that during the reign of Christ, he's going to bring the two sticks back together, one labeled Judah, the other labeled Ephraim, and he's going to put them and reign back together as it was, you know, during the time of David. And so, matter of fact, the word for stick or branch in the Hebrew is Nazar, and Jesus is called a Nazarene, not because he's from Nazareth, but because he is the branch of God. And so that's where that comes from. And so here, Jews, not to fight your brothers, the distance of the Lord. The divine circumstance produced an intermediate solution to total destruction. So this is the second time we've seen this. It's important to understand in biblical history. Number one, God was going to have to punish the world again after the flood. But the Tower of Babel, what did he do? He divided the people. So he delayed that judgment, which will eventually come, as we see in the book of Revelation, after the rapture. He does the same thing here. Instead of exiling all of Israel, he divides them. Now he's going to deal with two different entities. He's going to deal with the northern kingdom, and he's going to deal with the southern kingdom. And by dividing them, he delays the necessity of the exile. For Israel, it's 3 centuries. For the nation of Judah, it's over 4 centuries. He delays it. Instead of having to, so this is an intermediate step. Instead of having to kick them all out at once, he divides them and then he works between the two kingdoms. We're going to have in Israel 19 kings. All of them are bad. Every one of them. In the southern kingdom, we're going to have 12 kings. 5 are decent. You wouldn't say totally good, right? Just decent. Josiah was probably the best of the lot in that, but you got Jehoshaphat, you got Hezekiah. And so here we have, so instead of scattering the people, he divides them up. And so that you have the issue that he deals with these two people. Now, Rehoboam was a man of a contrary nature. He's basically a spoiled brat. He was not forced to answer gruffly. He seemed to already been part of his nature to do so. And as God used Pharaoh, as he used Judas, as he used Balaam, he allowed Rehoboam to do naturally what he did. And so Rehoboam had to live with his divided kingdom and every king after him for the next 300 years. Had to deal with this divided kingdom. Now, had Solomon not had rebelled, the kingdom would have remained intact. You know, remember it says in the Exodus 34, verses 4 through 6, or 4 through 9, that passage in there is the fact that, you know, he will visit upon the rebellious to the third and fourth generation their wickedness. And we see this, the generation that comes after Solomon suffers because of what Solomon did. And Rehoboam had to live with this divided kingdom then. All of Israel's sorrows extended from the rebellious nature. Israel never fully experienced the blessing God had promised in Deuteronomy 28. Never, you know, Abraham was told that he'd have all the land from the great river up in Euphrates to the river of Egypt, which is in the middle of the Sinai. Never got all that. You know, David had about as great an expansion as he could have, you know, but they never were obedient long enough to get all the blessing that God promised. Now, obviously, during the millennial reign of Christ, you're going to have all that, and of course, Christ will rule over the entire planet. Now, ironically, that this is the thing that's really ironic about this whole situation is the fact that Jeroboam is just as bad as Rehoboam. He's going to build two golden calves because he doesn't want people to go down to Jerusalem to worship, one at Dan and one at Bethel, which is kind of interesting because the word Bethel means house of God, you know. And so Jeroboam didn't learn anything from God's judgment on Solomon. You know, there's a saying that it's good to learn from your mistakes, but it's better to learn from someone else's mistakes. And Jeroboam doesn't do that. But God is consistent in his judgment. He also is going to judge Jeroboam. And so the ironic thing is on this whole thing is the fact that these guys who rebelled could have had it all. I mean, what more does Solomon want than what he had? Judas, who was part of the inner circle, could have had it all if he followed the Lord, right? Never has anyone fallen so far, right? Since Lucifer fell and became Satan, right? No, I mean, what more did Lucifer want? What more? But you cannot have the supreme position universe because that position's taken, right? And our greatest title is servant of the living God. Now, that's our greatest title. You're not going to rise above that. We're not independent. And so Rehoboam has to live with the consequences, but they never learn from it. Arrogance is a horrible thing. We do things to our own hurt, right? And that's exactly what you see. I mean, to me, when you read the story of Judas, you say, man, you were right there. And you walked away from it for 30 pieces of silver. Really? You know, C.S. Lewis once made this statement, which I think is a tremendous statement. Or it might have been G.K. Chesterton, but I thought it was Lewis. He said, we live in an age where people know the cost of things and the value of nothing. The cost of things and the value of nothing. Yeah. What's that? Oh, G.K. Chesterton? Yeah. We know the cost of things and the value of nothing. And Judas knew the cost of a trip to the beach and the value of nothing. And those people serve the Lord with all their hearts, minds, and soul. They know what value is. But those who seek their own flesh and their own desires, they might know the cost of things today with the value of nothing. And that's what you have. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have a discussion here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we can be together. And Lord, may we learn from Rehoboam and learn from Solomon and learn that we might be able to honor and please you because the highest privilege it is to be your servant, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.